Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. So good to have you with us today. With me in the studio again is my wife, Laverne Kreider. Welcome to you.
Oh, it's fun.
It's been fun. We've been walking through the different tests of leadership. And when we're through this, we have been 21 different tests that we've talked about. And today we're looking at the test of dependency, making sure we're depending on the Lord and not depending on our own abilities, our own strengths. Mm-hmm. So here we go. Are you ready, Laverne?
Yes. When we talk about, you know, depending on the Lord, we need to really emphasize it comes from a surrendered heart.
True.
Not our own self-efforts. And in leadership, life can go on, and there's pressures, and we start performing,
right.
And there's expectations laid on us, and we need to really walk in a place of like, we can do nothing without Him. Jesus said in John 15, didn't He?
He did.
I'm the vine, you're the branches, remain in Me. Isn't that awesome? Just remain in Me and you'll bear fruit. And then He went on to say, because without Me, you can do nothing. Mm. He didn't say, well, you can do a little. No, without Me, you can do nothing. So our lives and our very core of our being, that Christ living within us, this place of that we are totally surrendered to Him,
right.
Totally dependent on Him, and not depending on our own ingenuity, mm-hmm. our own self-efforts. We don't need to perform. It's a credible place of freedom,
right.
But it also is a place to be mindful of, mm-hmm. just asking the questions, you know, mm-hmm. are we walking in this place of abiding mm-hmm. in Him in the midst of all the busyness of leadership?
Psalm 121 says it so well. Verse 2 says, my help comes from the Lord. You know, David understood everything you're saying so well. And so we want to talk today about the test of dependency. And we all deal with this. I've dealt with it thousands of times. We still deal with it today. I'm going to give you a story from my life where I really dealt with it. God dealt with me strongly and gave me some wisdom as how to fix that in my life. It's all about knowing Jesus. I mean, that's what, when we're in leadership, whether it's our family, whether it's in church, or whether it's in a ministry, or in a business, or the marketplace, whatever, it's all about Jesus and having Jesus shine His life through us. So what I want to say that I think is so important for us is that I believe our connecting with the Lord, our connecting with our Lord Jesus, as you said in the 15th chapter of John, abiding in Him, and our communication with Him, our prayer life, really do go hand in hand. So often I find if my prayer life is strong, I'll find, and I'm not talking about the prayer life as in we got to do this and we have to pray and we have to pray hours. I'm simply saying our communication with God, our connection with God.
Because our prayer life needs to come from a place of surrender. Because
exactly.
We can go through spiritual disciplines, which are very important.
They are.
But they can mimic this or imitate that we are close to God when we're not, because our hearts aren't surrendered in obedience to Him.
Right.
We can read the Word, we can pray, but if our hearts aren't surrendered in a place of just, Christ, You live through me. Mm. Lord, You're working through me. If it's not from that place, then we often are not in a place of just absolutely obedience mm-hmm. to the Lord.
Hey, Galatians 2:20 says it so well, I'm crucified with Christ.
Yes.
Nevertheless, I live, but I'm dead with Him, but I live. But it's not me, but it's Christ living in me and mm-hmm. living in us. Mm-hmm. And the life, the scripture goes on to say, the life that I now live in this flesh by the faith of the Son of God, you know, it's because He loved me and He gave Himself for me. And so it's really being in union with God. Mm-hmm. But obviously it does have to do with our prayer lives mm-hmm. also. And I remember, Laverne, many, many years ago, I was in the country of Uzbekistan and meeting with some leaders of the persecuted church. And we're sitting, I remember, in this little building. We're sitting on the floor. They sat on the floor there. And these women of God were so connected with the Lord. You could just tell, even though we spoke different languages, translators, But you could just tell their connection with God was so strong, and they just walked with the Lord. And then at the end of the time, we had some dialogue. We gave a little teaching, I remember. We're sitting on the floor. And then one of these women of God, leading these house churches all over the capital city, I remember. And she said, could I ask you all a personal question? There were three, I think, on our team. And I said, sure. She said, tell me about your prayer lives. Tell me about how you pray. And I remember I felt really, really bad. I felt, because I obviously prayed every day, loved Jesus, we had all-night prayer meetings, all those kind of things. But I realized that I was kind of caught in the scales here and found one thing. I realized that my surrender, my connection with God, even in the midst of all the leadership stuff we were doing, was not where I needed to be. And I remember I said, when I get back from Uzbekistan, and first of all, I remember, I mean, I'm ashamed to say it, but I said, well, let's let somebody else answer that question, you know. Because I was just struggling with it. It passed the buck, yeah. And when I get home, I said, Lord, teach me to pray. I need to learn how to pray, how to really be abiding in you day by day and living a surrendered life. And, you know, I was a church leader and, of course, love Jesus. But I find so many people, when they're really honest about our prayer lives, I say, you know, I need to learn to pray. I need to learn to connect with God more effectively. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to dedicate the rest of this podcast, Laverne, just to tell you what I learned. And I mean, I do have it in a book I wrote. In fact, the easiest book I ever wrote was this book called Your Personal House of Prayer. But here's what happened to me. As I was praying about this, I said, God, what are you saying about prayer? I kind of stumbled upon Luke chapter 11, the first four verses, where Jesus' disciples said to him one day, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, why did Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them to pray? They didn't say, teach us to cast out demons. They didn't say, teach us to do miracles. They didn't say, teach us to make fish sandwiches, 5,000 or whatever. They said, teach us to pray. Why? Because they noticed that every day Jesus spent time with his Father. Yes, minute by minute he's with his Father, but he spent time with his Father every day because he was united with his Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
He only did what the Father told him to do, so
exactly.
He was in union with his Father.
He had to be. He had to be to hear that and know what his Father, and to see, obviously, what his Father was doing. So I thought, well, I'm going to see what the Scripture says about this. And I realized, he said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then he went on, and basically he said this, he said, when you pray, say, and then he gave the Lord's Prayer. Well, I grew up on the Lord's Prayer. I knew the Lord's Prayer forever. But something happened to me as I read over the Lord's Prayer and prayed over the Lord's Prayer and read over it again and prayed over it again. And I began to realize something I just never had understood before. The first thing I realized was that the Scripture says, my house should be called a house of prayer for all nations. Mm-hmm. That's Old Testament and New Testament, in Isaiah 56 and also in the New Testament, in Mark chapter 11, 17. So Jesus calls us to be a house of prayer. And then he also is very clear, God does not live in temples made with hands. He wasn't talking about a building. And I'm all for houses of prayer and buildings, that's fine. But he's calling us mm-hmm. to be a house of prayer, to be in union with him. And so I recognize that. I thought, there's something more God wants to share with me about being a house of prayer and also some of the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, pray. And, you know, I remember, Laverne, when I'd gone various times to Korea, you know, back in the 80s, mm-hmm. Dr. Young-Yi Cho was a man of prayer, taught the people of the world how to pray. And then, you know, he had this church of 700,000 people in small groups and all that. But what always hit me when I went there, you were with me, mm-hmm. you know, and he teaches to pray. He said, we need to pray. And then he said, okay, we were sitting on the floor. I remember this big gymnasium. Remember that? He said, no, you pray. And the American pastor looking around, how do we do this? And he was just teaching us to pray. And then he used to say, well, I've learned to pray. It's for me, there's certain things I pray, I learn from the Lord's Prayer. I thought, really? So I began to just study all this and think about this and pray about this. And it became clear to me, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are a house of prayer. I'm called to be a house of prayer. I'm called to be connected with the Lord and be a house of prayer. Now, we have to understand that houses have rooms. And the rooms of the houses in Jesus' day, the houses were different than our houses today. You know, houses then, often you walk into a courtyard. And in the court, you go to different rooms in the house when you got into the house. And then I realized that entering his gates with thanksgiving is courts with praise. There's something about mm-hmm. this, I think, that the Lord wants to
with
teach
grateful
me.
Heart.
With grateful hearts. Mm-hmm. Exactly, having the right attitude in it all. And so I began to realize then that in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, on and on. There are 12 different focuses. And some of this I learned from Joe. Some of this is learned from the Holy Spirit. There's 12 different focuses. And I began to realize, really, houses of rooms, and there's 12 focuses in the Lord's Prayer. Again, this helped me so much in prayer. Now, by the way, if you're listening to this right now, you say, my prayer life is amazing. Maybe this is not for you at all. But for some people, it's going to help you. I mean, I've had leaders in the body of Christ who, as they learn this, get back and say, this revolutionized my life. I've had wives of pastors contact me and say, what I'm sharing with us right now, this helped my husband so much, he became a new man in prayer. So I'm just going to share with you what God showed me. And it's been such a blessing for me over these years. It's not perfect, but it connected me with my daddy in heaven. By understanding these basic principles that Jesus gave. And he was known as the rabbi. Here's how rabbis taught. Rabbis would come up with an outline, and then they'd fill in the outline. And so Jesus, our rabbi, taught his disciples how to pray by giving an outline. And I call this the 12 rooms of prayer. You can call it whatever you want. You walk into this courtyard, like I said, from Psalms 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving, courts with praise, and walk in praise, and then that's our attitude. And then we go to these 12 rooms in prayer. What I love about this is all of us have different perceptions, things we like about prayer. In other words, we all have our own preferences. This brings these 12 different aspects of prayer and for us to follow the Holy Spirit from room to room in our personal house of prayer. So what does that look like for us? Well, let me share it with you right now. Number one is what I call the family room, our Father, which are in heaven. It's our daddy's room. He loves us because he loves us because he loves us. If we don't understand that we are... God is not a guy with a big stick. He's a daddy. He's a heavenly daddy who loves us. And so we say, our Father, we know that he is there as the one who loves us perfectly.
And a good daddy. A great daddy. A good father, not an abusive father. So we can come without hesitation.
Exactly.
The scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace.
Correct.
It's a place of that we can... It's approachable.
Yes.
And that helps us, doesn't it? You know, just instead of holding back.
Correct.
Like, yes, we can go right in.
It's also interesting. It doesn't say my Father, it says our Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the God of family, God of relationship.
Yes.
He's our Father together. So that's what I call the first room of prayer. So I often see myself as going to the first room of prayer. I'm loved by my daddy. Mm-hmm. I thank you that I'm loved perfectly by you. I'm in union with you, connect with you. And then the second room I found is what I call the adoration room. Holy is your name. He is holy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we adore him. We honor him. We bless him. You know, it's his name, the power in his name. He's the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings. He's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. It's his name. And again, I find that some people in their own prayer lives say, well, that's where I stay in that room. And that's fine. But this is just helping us understand how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And I thought, if I can learn from the way he taught his disciples, why can't I learn to pray in the same way?
And don't you think there's certain seasons we
True.
Might stay,
yes.
like just what you said.
I agree.
We might just have a strong emphasis on adoration for a long season of our
right.
lives, even though every day we stand in awe of his name, you
we
know,
do.
and adore him.
Yes.
But there's certain seasons, I mm-hmm. think, as we look
I agree
through,
totally.
as you teach on this, I think there's certain seasons that are just more emphasis at certain times in our lives.
Yeah. And his name is above the name of sickness. His name is above the name of disease. You know, his name is above the name of shortcomings, you know, et cetera, et cetera. His name is above the name of depression. It's his name. It's all in his name. Again, I'm just sharing what I learned from the Lord's Prayer as Jesus taught his disciples. For me, it's been revolutionary. And then the third room is what I call the declaration room. May your kingdom come. Making declarations, you know, the scriptures, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua said, you know, I can do all things through Christ. That's making a declaration. Jesus said, I will build my church. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. You know, we're making declarations. And that is right there in the Lord's Prayer and making the declarations. And I don't want to take too much time or this will be a very long podcast. But the room number four, I find it was what I call, I love this room, the surrender room. Just the thing we talked about earlier in this podcast, surrendering to the Lord, staying in connection with him. And I grew up in the church, and they sing this hymn, All to Jesus I Surrender. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, it's completely, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, surrendering to him and all he's given us. The angels of heaven are totally surrendered to him. And he's called us to walk in a place of surrender.
I've often found this helpful in praying for my children or praying for other mm-hmm. people. Lord, we thank you that your kingdom will come in their
yes.
lives.
Yes.
We declare it in their lives,
yeah.
that your will be done in their lives,
yes.
not only for ourselves,
yes.
but for our
yeah.
children, for the people that God has put in our lives.
Yes.
I just have found that really
yep.
helpful.
In making those
yes.
declarations. And the room five is the provision room. I love this. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, thank you that you're our provider. And we've seen God provide again and again and again and again. But it's the provision. He desires to provide for us. He says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. He desires to provide mm-hmm. for us, take care of us. But he wants us to ask. You know, you do not have because you do not ask, James 4, you know, says. He is El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. But we're asking him. And again, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then give us this day our daily bread. That is, again, that powerful room of provision. The sixth room is the forgiveness room. And we talk a lot about forgiveness on this podcast. And forgive us our debts. You know, forgive us for our sins. Forgiveness is a gift from God. We receive forgiveness from the Lord. And he makes it clear to us that as he will forgive us, he wants to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And once I looked at the word confession, I thought, what is confession? What is it? You confess your sins, you know, one to another, and confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John 1:9. Well, what is confession? Is a New Testament Greek word for confess means to agree with God
wow.
according to a matter.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. To agree with God, okay. I'm confessing the sin to you, and God then obviously forgives. Again, there's the whole gamut. In the Lord's Prayer are all these aspects of prayer. And you're right. Certain seasons, we're in one room more than another. Certain even times of the day, we might be in one room more than another. And then you go from the provision room, the forgiveness room, to the freedom room. As we forgive our debtors, and we forgive others, we are free. We release them.
We don't hold offense.
Exactly. Freedom from that. And that's the freedom room, keeping short accounts. Then the protection room. Lead us not into temptation. Ask God to protect us and our loved ones from harm and evil and danger. You know, it's the protection room. And, you know, Jesus talks about be careful we don't fall into temptation. It doesn't just happen. We can fall into it. He protects us from that. And because, you know, the flesh he says often the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So he protects us. That's why we need the protection room. And then we've got the warfare room. There's a couple more to go. The warfare room, but deliver us from the evil one. It's not us against the devil. It's us and God in us, you know, against the devil. And he has won the victory already. Learning to fight for our families in the spirit. Learning to fight for leadership, people under our areas of influence. But again, it's a powerful room in the kingdom of God. And then we go from there in the warfare room, we go to the kingdom room. Yours is the kingdom. It's all about, we mentioned it earlier, it's all about his kingdom. And it's all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and his kingdom is within us.
Yes,
exactly. Jesus kept saying that because the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
You know, and the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking or doing this or that. It is righteous, peace, and joy in the Holy
yes.
Spirit. And many times you would encourage me, Laverne, are you going to lose your righteous, peace, and joy over this situation?
Right.
You know, you said it in
right.
a kind way, but it was like, yeah. The kingdom of God is right that I'm walking in righteousness because I'm righteous because of the blood and joy and peace mm-hmm. that Christ gives.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the power room, the power of the Holy Spirit, obviously praying in the Spirit. You know, Jesus knew we need help to pray. He said, the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need, the power of God every day, praying in the Spirit. And then ending with the exaltation room and the glory forever. Amen. It's settled in God. Just exalting him, honoring him, giving him all the honor and glory that he only deserves. And so this is just something the Holy Spirit has shown me. Mm-hmm. It's helpful.
And it's so important, especially in this day and age, that we learn to stand in awe of who he is.
Yeah.
We've lost some, I think sometimes we've lost the wonder of who God is,
yeah.
you know. He is our friend, he is
yes.
our father, he is six closer than a brother, but also he is God. And,
mm.
and stand in wonder of the beauty of who he is.
Yes.
It's powerful.
It is.
Yeah.
So God wants to give us a renewed passion for prayer. And again, this is just something that God has shown me over the last years. It's really helped me personally, helping many people around the world. And I put it in a little book some years back called Your Personal House of Prayer. I think of the 40-some books I've written, this was the easiest book. It just flowed from my computer. It was amazing. And it's helped me and many other people to pray. Again, this may not be for you. It may be for you, or maybe parts of it. But what I loved about this is I'm a house of prayer. God's called us to be a house of prayer. Yes. And then he shows us in our house of prayer how we can pray in 12 different aspects or rooms, call whatever you want, 12 different ways to pray, focuses on prayer. And again, you said it well, Laverne, some seasons we're more on one than another, but help us give us a balanced prayer life. And I believe God wants us to have that. So dependency and our walk with God, our surrender to God, and our prayer life really all do go hand in hand. And it's very easy as a leader. It's very easy to get so caught up in the leadership things that we have and the struggles we have in leadership or the pressures we have in leadership. We forget about the most important thing is that we are leading ourselves in our house of prayer day by day as God leads us by His Spirit.
Amen.
So God bless you. So good to have you today. Again, check out the show notes. Your Personal House of Prayer, Larry Kreider, pick that up. It'd be helpful to you. Passing the 21 Tests of Leadership and lots of other things on there you can find. And I believe God wants to renew you today to make you the man or woman God has called you to be as a leader, as a future leader, but mostly as a child of the living God. He is the one we serve. We're grateful, so grateful for who he is, what he's done. So hopefully this has been a blessing to you as together we build the personal house of prayer that God's given to each of us. God bless you. We'll be back next week. And it's such a joy to have this time with you. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.